Amen. You may be seated.
Okay.
Amen. Praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord.
Amen. Last Sunday when Pastor asked me would I come and share a message this morning, I readily agreed. Amen.
Amen.
You never know when you may be preaching your last message. Or you never know that when you might be attending your last service. You know, nothing is promised.
Amen.
But this I do know, that before time was, God saw this day.
Come on.
Before it came, he was preparing me with everything that I've gone through for this day. But I also know that this day is only preparing me for something that's coming greater.
Come on.
It is not just the end of what he's doing, but it's just a part of what he's doing in order to take me to that destiny that he's called me to. But I'm so grateful and thankful that Pastor would look upon me and give me that opportunity to speak to you briefly this morning.
Bless you, Reverend.
I'm not going to come to you with something new. I'm not going to have something probably that you haven't heard of.
Yeah.
But what I am praying this morning as I'm speaking to you, that the Holy Spirit will reveal to you a deeper truth into what you hear.
Amen.
Because sometimes we hear things over and over again, and we kind of take it as if, well, that one was a little better than the last one I heard. But that's not what it's about. It's about to equip you, to let you know what God is doing in our lives. Because not only are you under attack, but so am I in all that name Jesus as Lord and Lord and Savior of our lives. So this morning, I just want to share something with you briefly. I won't be long, but I'm going to ask that you would pray for me.
Amen.
And that you believe that the Holy Spirit would answer that prayer this morning.
Yes.
Amen. So this morning I'm going to come from the book. We're going to begin in the book of Mark in the 11th chapter. And what I want to talk to you this morning about the faithfulness of God and trusting God. Amen.
Amen.
So Mark 11. If you found it, let us say amen.
Amen.
And those that haven't, say wait on me. This 11:22 where we will begin.
Okay.
And here is where Jesus is coming out of Jerusalem after cleaning the temple, and he on his way there the day before he cursed the fig tree. And the disciples heard it, and now they see the results of it. And they said to him that, Master, behold, the fig tree which thou cursed is withered away. That's the ending of 21. And Jesus answered and said unto them, have faith in God. For verily I say unto you that whosoever shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed and be thou cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe that those things which he said shall come to pass, he shall have whatsoever he said. Therefore I say unto you, what things soever you desire, when you pray, believe that you receive them, and you shall have them. We're going to stop right there for now this morning. And I'm going to pray before I begin to get into the message. Gracious Heavenly Father, I thank you, Father God, for this opportunity. Now, Father, I thank you that the Holy Spirit, Father God, would open our eyes, Father. He'd give us wisdom and understanding of your word, Father God. Father God, that he would move me out of the way, Father God, and he would have me to say what you would have your people to hear, Father. Now, Father, I thank you and I praise you for it. In Jesus' mighty name, amen.
Amen.
Now, you may be seated. Amen. Now, we probably have heard this message time and time before. But what I want to say to you this morning is that we can't live the Christian life. But the Holy Spirit can empower us that Christ can live that life through us.
Amen.
And living that life through us, we have to do one thing. We have to have the faith that he is operating in and through us, that what he has spoken will come to pass.
Yeah.
No greater debate goes on with us when it comes to the word of God, mm-hmm. and to trust in God to whether he's faithful or not.
Yes.
Many times that we're looking at our circumstances and our situation more than we are adhering to what the word of God says.
Yes.
Now, I read this in your hearing, and as I read this in your hearing, I'm hoping something kind of piqued your hearing. When he said, therefore I say unto you, what things soever you desire, when you pray, believe that you receive them and you shall have them. Mm-hmm. Either he is telling us the truth this morning, or Jesus is a liar.
Uh-huh. Mm-hmm.
Either what he said is will happen,
yeah.
or he has told us something to sound good to get us excited, but we never are able to experience it.
Uh-huh.
But I want to say to you that he's not a liar. But what he's spoken is the truth.
Come on.
And whatever he said, he would do. And that he declared, he would bring it to pass. Now here this morning, mm-hmm. I'm talking to you about the faithfulness of God.
Mm-hmm.
So let me give you an example of the faithfulness of God.
Mm-hmm.
Because there are things happening right now in your life that you can't see. See, sometimes we think that God is not present and nothing is going on. But God is always working behind the scenes.
Amen.
So if you would look at what was going on in Esther, in the book of Esther, we're familiar with that, the story of Esther and Mordecai and Haman and all those things that went on. But you see, if you notice, when you look at Esther, you don't see the name of God anywhere.
All right.
You don't see that God is even on the scene at all. You never see where you can say there's God's handprints. But God is moving and working and bringing about a thing for his people that he had already proclaimed to them.
Amen.
See, let us go back just a moment
in
time to a man called Saul.
Amen.
Remember, Samuel told Saul to go do a thing. He said to Saul, Saul, I want you to go, and I want you to destroy all the Amalekites.
Okay.
He told him to destroy King Agag and everything that's there.
That's right.
Don't leave anything.
Yeah. Yeah.
Kill every man, woman, child, cattle, everything that's there. Destroy it.
Yeah.
But Saul found something that he thought was good.
Yeah.
Because the people persuaded him to believe that the good things that Agag had, he could bring and sacrifice to the Lord.
Yeah.
Oh, you don't hear me this morning.
Yeah.
See, what I'm trying to say to you so many times, we're no different than what just happened with Saul.
Yeah.
Because we want to hold on to what we thought was good.
Yeah.
We realized that when we was in the world, the things that we were doing was wrong.
Yeah.
But when we came to the Lord, we felt like it had to be something there that I can present.
Yeah.
There had to be something that was good. I was always kind to people. Oh, I'm going to hold on to that. That was good.
Yeah.
But see, your kindness and God's kindness is different.
Come on. Amen.
Oh, now, wait a minute. What are you talking about, amen, preacher? Because, see, sometimes when people misuse you and treat you wrong, your kindness won't apply to them.
Yeah.
But the word of God said that while we were yet sinners, not when we had it right, Christ died for us.
Amen.
He didn't say that, oh, wait a minute, hold on a minute. These people are not acting right.
Yeah.
But we was acting as bad as we could act.
Yeah.
Amen.
Yeah.
But Jesus gave his life.
Yeah.
So God walked working in that area where he had told Saul to go do what he wanted done, Samuel.
Yeah.
And so Saul kept the good things.
Yeah.
Even brought King Agag back. But and then he says to Samuel, I've done what the Lord required of me.
Yeah.
And Samuel says to Saul, what is this that I hear, the bearing of the sheep in my ear?
Yeah.
And what is going on with Agag?
Yeah.
But Saul, in his mind, said, I had done what was told to me to be done.
Yeah.
But he thought God wanted sacrifices.
Yeah.
And God wanted obedience.
Yeah.
You don't hear me this morning. Because, see, what was going on, we gave what we thought was good.
Yeah.
But what we gave wasn't what God wanted.
Yeah.
So if we're going to look at faith, faith is the reality of what is hoped for, the proof of what is not seen. To exercise faith is to have confidence about an expectation without visible proof that it is happening.
Yeah.
Oh, now, I'll say that again a little later because I want it to kind of sink in. See, that's meaning that here in verse 24, therefore I say unto you, what things soever you desire, when you pray, believe that you receive them, and you shall have them. See, because when I pray that I don't see them, then I give up on what I prayed for because it hasn't happened. See, we feel like that if time passed for a moment, God's not going to do it. But back to the story of Saul. So this was years before we get to Esther. But we find in Esther there's a man named Haman. But you got, let me tell you something about Haman. He was an Agagite. He was a descendant of Agag. See, God had already told Saul to get rid of all that. But here in Esther, we find that God's people is having a problem because of one man, the man that hated the Jews named Haman. A descendant of the very man that Saul was to take care of. But because Saul didn't do what God told him to do, the problem carried on. See, we may have to go back a little bit further before we move on to tell you about faithfulness of God and trusting God. See, when the Israelites was coming out of Egypt, the Amalekites was the one that attacked the Israelites. And they said it killed all those that was weak and feeble. But God made a promise. God said that he would repay the Amalekites for what they'd done to the Israelites. This is why he sent Saul to do to Agag what he told him to do. This, but because of Saul not being obedient, he left some people. And Haman being one of them. And now the Jews find their lives in danger. And this man wants the whole nation of the Jews destroyed. But you don't see anywhere that it says that God is working in the scenes. But God has been working since that time. Because when it came to this time, there was a man named Mordecai. Now, if you remember about Saul, Saul was who? He was a Benjaminite. Mordecai were off the Benjaminites. Oh, but we don't see the hand of God moving. Mordecai would not bow the knee to Haman. When Haman got the ear of king and the king promoted Haman, Mordecai was the only one that wouldn't bow down. Now you say to this story, what did all this have to do with me? All this has to do with you is I'm talking about one thing, the faithfulness of God, and the other thing of us exercising our faith. And to exercise that faith would be in obedience to what God tells us to do. We may not understand it. We may not realize how it's going to work out. But God is talking to us about the one thing, his faithfulness, when we exercise that faith of the thing which is not seen. So I know I could spend a lot of time here, but I hope that you understand what I'm saying about in Esther and how God was moving in the lives of the Jews even then when you could not see his hand. But God was orchestrating everything that was happening. He was moving the people to do what he wanted them to do. In this way, he would do it through Esther and Mordecai. But see, when Mordecai says to Esther, he says, and after we know the story, that Esther was made queen. But she was made queen for a reason. See, God had raised up Esther for a time such as was happening. And so when the discussion between Esther and Mordecai went back and forth, Mordecai sent a message to Esther saying think not that because you're in the king house, this is going to save you.
Yeah.
Yeah.
See, sometimes because we believe that we are Christians,
yeah,
we believe that we go to the house of God,
yeah,
and we say that we serve God, that when things come along, that we can divert from what God will have us to do,
okay,
and feel like the outcome should still be okay. But he says the answer to this. He said, know this, that if you refuse to go before the king, that the deliverance and the enlargement of the Jews was coming from somewhere else.
All right. Mm-hmm.
And you and your house will be destroyed.
Yeah.
Know not that you came for such a time as this.
Amen. Amen.
See, I want to say to you, you see all the things that are happening in the world today. You see all the thing between the politicians and people against people.
Yeah.
You see all those things that we are going through.
Mm-hmm.
But for such a time as this, God could have had you come at any other time. You could have been born 200 years ago.
All right.
You could have been born 500 years ago.
Yeah.
But you was born in this time for a purpose. And that purpose and that plan is for God's will to be done
Amen.
In the earth. Amen?
Amen.
So we see the faithfulness of God in the Old Testament. But here we see the faithfulness of God when he spoke to Elijah. And that's in the book of Kings also. In the book of Kings, he speaks to Elijah and he tells Elijah, you know what's going on, Elijah, in this time. Elijah has spoken, and there's not been any rain
mm-hmm.
for the period of 3.5 years.
Yeah.
I'm talking about the faithfulness of God. Then we're going to get to the New Testament in just a moment. He's talking to Elijah because now Elijah is having an issue with Jezebel. And Elijah has decided what he was going to do. He's gone to the brook Kidron, and there God has fed him, and now the brook is drawn up. And he's now on his way. God is now sending him to a widow. This widow he's sending him to is in Zarephath. Now, Elijah comes in the story. Now, you see that she's at the gate. Amen. When he walks in, he walks into this situation. He just left a situation. Now he walks into another situation.
Mm-hmm.
He walks in a situation to where now there's a widow that God has told him that would sustain him.
Mm-hmm.
But now the widow is gathering sticks
okay. mm-hmm.
to fix the last meal for her son and her.
Yeah.
And she says, I'm doing this and we're going to die. Now, listen to faith. See, faith is not just saying, I have faith. But faith causes something to happen.
Mm-hmm.
Faith moves in action.
Yeah.
Amen? See, let me see a show of hand this morning that had a conversation with the chair that you're sitting in.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
But do you know it took faith for you to sit in the chair?
Yeah.
You didn't ask that chair, can you hold me?
Yeah.
Yeah. What are you going to do if I sit down?
Mm-hmm.
What did you do when you saw it? You say you are a chair, and I'm sitting.
Mm-hmm.
But you know what the Word of God says? Without faith, it is impossible to please God.
Amen.
He to come to God must believe that he is,
uh-huh.
and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him.
Yeah.
See, in Hebrews 11:6, he tells you it is impossible. But every day that we come to a circumstance or situation, we see it as something to hinder us. God sees it as something to grow us,
all right.
yeah.
to build us, and to bring us to the place that he created us for. But we see it as, oh, but man, the enemy is really messing with me.
Come on.
But how do we know that? You have to know something. The enemy can only do what God allows him to do.
Amen.
Amen. He can't do no more.
Amen.
And if God used him, he's using him for a purpose.
Yeah. That's
right.
And that purpose is to carry out God's will.
Yeah.
See, we quote well Romans 8:28, and we know that all things work together for good to them that love the Lord, to those that are called according to his purpose.
Yeah.
But I want you to, in your time, read verse 29.
Yeah.
Because what he's working to your good is to carry out his purpose and his will.
Amen.
So here he gets there to the widow. And now I just want you to he gets to the widow, and the widow has already said what she's about to do. But put yourself in this situation. And these things that I'm telling you, I'm asking you to put yourself in that circumstance. Think about that circumstance. There's a famine in the land.
Uh-huh.
Hasn't rained. Okay. And there's no food. Mm-hmm. Food is running out everywhere.
Yeah.
She's down to her very last.
Yeah.
Just a little oil and just a little flour. That's all she had. And she had just enough for a cake for her and her son. But here comes the man of God. And the man of God says, do this one thing. Fetch me a drink of water. And by the way, while you're on your way to get water, make me a cake first. And then make one for you and your son. So I want to hear what I'm saying to you this morning. If it's not but enough for me and my son, and if I give you the water and I make you a cake, what do I have? See, a lot of time we come down to trusting God. This is the very thing that we say. Lord, but if I give you my $20, and I know that my bills are $80, and my $20 was to put gas in my car, how am I going to get to work? Lord, you understand my situation. And I'm praying that you better my situation. And you understand why I'm not going to give you my 20. But what you just said is, Lord, I don't think you can provide for me. You're not who you say you are. You're not the God that said that he's able to supply all my needs according to his riches and glory. So what I'm going to do, I'm going to keep what I got. I'm going to pray that you give me increase. And I know that you're faithful enough to increase what I have. But he said, if you're not faithful with little, how can I trust you with much? See what you just said to God. I'm giving what I can't give what I don't have. All this I have, I need. Well, God knew that before he asked you. What he asked you to do is to trust him. So when I give him what is my leftover, am I trusting him? When he's the last on the list to bring my situation to, am I trusting him? See, if I'm trusting him, he should be the first that I go to. And if I really believe he is my supplier, he's able to give all that I have need of, then what I'm going to do, I'm going to give what he's asking. And then I'm going to give an offering because I trust him. You say, oh, now, preacher, wait a minute. You just after my money. Well, see, God ain't never needed your money. So let's hear something this morning from the word of the Lord is this. It's his. All of it is his.
Amen.
The earth is his and the fullness thereof. See, we don't own anything, but we're just a steward. So as was Elijah when he came into that situation. That had the understand the shoot the widow in Zarephath, she was a Gentile. Now we know what Gentiles were. They were unbelievable. They were not the people of God. She didn't. But when listen, the man of God is speaking to a Gentile and says to this Gentile, give me a drink of water and give me and bake me a cake first. He's not talking to the people of God. He's talking to a Gentile. And this Gentile made a decision. If he was a man of God, then I'm going to obey. The obedience showed forth the faith. See, when the disobedience comes, it doesn't show faith. The disobedience brings those things that you are already thinking are going to happen. But God is blessing when you're obedient, not when you're disobedient. It was because of the obedience of the Israelite that there was a famine. It was because of their disobedience, the situation had come up on all people. So what are you saying to me this morning, preacher? I said, when I look at the world today, and we look at the influence of the church today, and we look at how the church has lost its influence, we thought that being like the world would get more people in the church. We thought changing how the values that we had would make more people understand what we were trying to do. See, but that hasn't been the case. There was a time in life, in your time, that, and that many sitting here this morning could understand that if someone passed by the church and didn't know the Lord and they were cursing, they stopped cursing until they got past the church.
Yeah.
Oh, you don't hear me this morning.
Yeah.
See, if they were smoking and the pastor came around the corner, they apologized and they put the cigarette out. Oh, Lord, Pastor, forgive me. I didn't mean for you to see me do this.
Yeah.
But if the pastor turned the corner today, they subsequently hit him in the head and try to take what he's got.
Yeah.
Wow.
See, you have to understand that in that disobedience, a lot of things are happening in the land.
Yeah.
A lot of things are moved from what they used to be to what they are now.
Yeah.
And so when we look at this and the faithfulness of Elijah in this situation, he didn't stop to do what God told him. God says to him, this widow is going to supply you.
Yeah.
See, so when he heard the word of God, he heard what God said, but he also heard what the widow said.
Yeah.
All I got is a little oil and a little meal.
Yeah.
Enough for me and my son, and we're going to die after this.
Yeah.
Did that sound like she's going to sustain him? How could she sustain him on what she just, how could God sustain him on what she just said?
Right.
But it wasn't what she had to say.
Yeah.
It's what God had to say.
Yeah.
God said that she will sustain you.
Amen.
So Elijah says, bake me that cake, give me that water.
Yeah.
Your meal will not run out. Your oil will not cease. And the word of God said, for many days, you know, until the famine was over, the meal kept coming and the oil kept flowing. But it was then because of the obedience and the faithfulness to trust God.
Yeah.
See, there are times in our lives when we're challenged and we have to understand, what are we going to do?
Yeah.
Are we going to believe what we just heard read this morning? That God is faithful? But you say, well, wait a minute, though. So I don't see this in my life.
Yeah.
When I pray, I don't. So whatsoever you desire when you pray, believe that you receive them and you shall have them. So where is that in my life?
Yeah.
I'm praying all the time and I don't see.
Yeah.
I'm trusting God and I'm not receiving.
Yeah.
I'm giving you witnesses this morning when I'm taking you through the Old Testament. So let me give you one more before we go here to the New Testament to get wrapped up. Abraham.
Uh-huh.
Abraham was 75 years old when God came to Abraham and said to Abraham, you're going to have a son.
Yeah.
25 years Abraham waited.
Amen.
How long you been waiting? It says that Abraham did not consider how old he was, or the deadness of Sarah's womb.
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
But he believed God.
Amen.
Yeah.
And God counted it to him for righteousness.
Yeah.
He believed that the promise that God gave was good, and time wasn't what was going to change it.
Amen.
See, we pray for an hour, or we pray for a minute or two about a situation, and because we don't see any change, we think nothing is happening to the situation. Then we go out and do the one thing that we say that we believe in faith. We begin to speak just the very opposite of what we say we believe.
Yeah.
We begin to say the very things that is not according to what we say our faith our faith is. The first person we run into, how you doing? Oh, you don't know what I'm going through, child.
Yeah.
Oh, the devil just beating me up left and right.
Yeah.
Oh, he's doing all these different things. And this is what's happening. And I don't have this and I don't have that. But that's not what the Word of God says.
All right.
See, you tell me to be positive and to speak different. No, I'm telling you just what the Word of God said to you. He says death and life is in the power of the tongue.
Yeah.
He that loveth eat the fruit thereof. Death and life in the power of the tongue. If you're going to see the Word of God prosper in the place where he sends it, you're going to have to speak life.
Yeah.
Oh, but you don't understand. You're speaking positive? No. He says we walk by faith, not by sight.
Yeah.
He didn't tell you to believe in what you see.
Yeah.
He told you to have faith in what's not seen. Remember what I read to you about what faith is? How faith is the reality of what is hoped for, the proof of what is not seen, and having that confidence that what you don't see is happening.
Yeah.
Now you're exercising faith. You're trusting God to be faithful. Because you don't see it doesn't mean God's not doing it.
Amen.
Because,
amen.
See, the deliverance that God promised the Israelites and the payback to the Amalekites, he fulfilled that promise. God is doing the same in your life today. He said, in this world, you will have tribulations.
Yeah.
But be of good cheer.
Yeah.
So I've overcome the world.
Yeah.
See, when we begin to exercise faith and we begin to trust God, we begin to speak as what God say is.
Uh-huh.
Not what we see and think it will be.
Yeah.
When we begin to exercise faith, we are not concerned about how the enemy comes. Because we understand the enemy is going to fight you whether you want to or not.
Yeah.
The enemy is going to bring trouble to you whether you want it or not.
Yeah.
See, if you've chosen a side to trust God and to live for him, you're going to have troubles.
Yeah.
And even if you don't, in this world, you will have trouble.
Yeah.
But the thing about that is you are to exercise your faith. In exercising your faith, you're saying that I'm trusting God no matter what.
Yeah.
I'm trusting God no matter how it seems, no matter what's going on.
Yeah.
So, see, we can shout about Job, and we can see how bad it was for Job.
Uh-huh.
But God is the one that said to Satan, have you tried my servant Job?
That's right.
Job minding his own business.
Exactly.
See, put your name in that.
Mm-hmm.
Have you tried my servant?
Yeah.
Have you tried him? So what did Job do? Job did not one time sin.
Yeah.
He did not bring one accusation against God.
Amen.
See, when we see what the wife of Job said to him, said, stop holding on to your integrity. Just curse God and die.
Yeah.
He said, now you speak as one of the foolish women.
Yeah.
Shall we not receive adversity from the hand of God as well as good?
Yeah.
The Lord give it and the Lord take it away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Mm-hmm. See, Job was not standing on what Job knew. Job knew that he had a redeemer, and that redeemer was able to deliver.
Amen.
Yeah.
And so when we see here today, we come to this last witness, and this last witness is found in Mark 11.
Mm-hmm.
And then Then I go back here to finish in 11. In Mark 9, that was a young man and his son.
Yeah.
And this young man was having some issues here in Mark 9. And you're familiar with the story in 9. Here in 23rd verse, I believe, of that chapter.
Mm-hmm.
But it started a little before that. And this is right, I say, it started actually at 13. And this is when Jesus is coming down off the mount. And he comes and he finds that his disciples are having an issue with the strives, because this man had brought his son to his disciples and asked them to cast out a demon. He said, cast this demon from my son, but they were unable to cast the demon out of his son. So it raised questions to whether they were legitimate by the strives. And Jesus came and he asked them what they were questioning them about. And so the father began to tell Jesus about his son and his condition. How the demon had taken him off and thrown him in the water and in the fire and tried to destroy him. And this has been going on a long time. And this situation wasn't changing. And it didn't even change when he brought him to Jesus' disciples. And so Jesus said, "Oh, faithless generation, how long shall I be with you? How long shall I suffer you? Bring him unto me." He said, faithless. Now, see something. This son had an issue that could be cured, but it had to be cured with faith. Not with whether my ability is able to cure him. See, because they had been with Jesus, didn't mean they had enough faith to heal him. They had been walking with Jesus. They had heard everything Jesus had said. But remember, it's the execution of that that caused that faith to activate.
All right. Yeah.
When you execute that thing on the thing that is not seen, on that invisible thing, having confidence that that invisible thing will become visible. I believe it's 2 Corinthians 4:18 says, "While we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen, they are temporal, but the things which are not seen is eternal." See, we focus a lot on what we can see and rather than what we don't see. See, if you look this morning with your spiritual eyes, there's an angel standing next to you. You don't see it. It doesn't mean he's not there. God says he's there. Is God just saying that to make you feel good? Is God telling you the truth? Is God one that you can trust no matter what's happened?
Say that.
No matter what you're going through? No matter what you face? No matter how long you faced it? See, when he says whatsoever thing you desire when you pray, he's telling you, he's telling me to live as though you already have it. You don't see it, but believe it though as you already have it. See, if I believe that I have it, I'm going to receive it. But see, if I don't live as though I already have it, it's not coming. Well, see, he said that he came that you might have life and that you might have life more abundant. We shout and we get happy about all those things, but is it? Or am I experiencing all those things in my life? Am I experiencing that kingdom of God that he said that would come? Am I living in that kingdom? Am I walking? Am I the head and not the tail? Am I above and not beneath? Am I being blessed when I come in? Am I being blessed when I go out? See, am I experiencing this? You say, well, now how do I experience all those things that God say I have? See, God says that he seated you in heavenly places in Christ Jesus.
Amen.
And then he said that he put all blessings in heavenly places in Christ. Now, he seated you where he put your blessings. You say, what are you saying to me, preacher? I'm sitting here in the chair looking at you. But your spiritual position is in heavenly places.
All right.
Your earthly position is here. But what God gave you, all spiritual blessings, he gave them to you in Christ Jesus. And you are in those heavenly places spiritually in Christ, where your blessings are. But if I live as though I'm bound to this earth, and I live as though I'm just mere man or woman, and I don't live out of what God has given me, then I'm never going to experience the life that God said I should live.
All right.
I'm going to always wonder how it is and hope that it is and hope that I can be like this person or hope that God has blessed me like this person. But God is no respecter of person. What he'll do for one, he'll do for all. So when I look at the scripture, I'm saying to you, stop speaking those things that stopped your blessing. That's the trick of the enemy. See, he can't stop it, but you can. I can. Because the very words I speak, they're power. It has that very thing that can stop what God wants to give me. Oh, you know, I prayed to God about this, about I needed a, let's take it to some material things so you might understand. Well, I prayed to God about this house. And I know that I don't have enough money to get a house. But I just wonder, I don't know if God's going to do this for me. I know my credit don't look just as good. I don't know that, I don't know how I'm going to be able to get it because I just don't, they say I don't qualify. Well, I have one thing to say to you. Where's your faith? Because God says that he gave you favor. So let me testify to you for a moment. I don't want to go over my time. Let me testify to you a moment. In 1986, we met a realtor. And I forget her name. But we were looking to buy a house. My wife and I, we saw this house, and we said we wanted the house. We prayed to God about the house. And we said, Lord, we don't have the monies for the house and the qualification for the house. And the guy is asking $5,000 down, payment on the house. We don't have the $5,000 right now, but we need the house. We believe you're going to give the house. So we went, found the realtor, and the realtor, at this time, she knew the Lord, but she wasn't serving the Lord. And she says to me, she said, I've never known anybody buy a house without having to pay money down.
Okay.
I said, well, just stay with me. God is going to do this.
Yeah.
So this is the thing, God. See, God was doing that. It may have been doing that for us, but he was doing that really for her. Because guess what the seller said? The seller called and said, tell them don't even worry about the money.
Yeah.
They can have the house.
Yeah.
Don't even worry about the down payment and everything. Just tell them they can have it.
Yeah.
Were that God's favor?
Yeah.
Or was that because of what I saw on the paper said your credit not enough, your money's not enough?
Yeah.
Or you're gonna buy a house that you want because you don't have what it takes to get it. But God gave it, and it changed her life.
Amen.
She started going back to church. She started trusting God. She started saying, look, I've never seen anything like this.
Yeah.
But that was God.
Amen.
That wasn't what I could do.
Amen.
That's what God could do.
Yeah. Amen.
That was trusting God because what he said he would do.
Yeah.
He's giving you favor. See, instead of you thinking about how you can influence somebody, how you can manipulate somebody, trust God.
Yeah.
Trust God that the favor that God has on your life will move you to where you want to be.
Yeah.
Well, I don't qualify for that job. I know I've been here a long time. I know it in and out, but they're asking for me to have a master's degree, and I don't have that master's degree, but I know that job.
Yeah.
But I know they ain't going to give it to me. Why are you talking like that? It's not theirs to give. It's God's.
All right, Reverend.
So why aren't you saying to God, God, you know I qualify for that, and I'm trusting you that you'll give it to me.
Mm-hmm.
And see what God will do. But see, we don't do that. We keep saying, well, maybe if I can get my boss to speak for me.
Yeah.
Or maybe I can tell him all the things I know. But that's not what we're looking for. And so, see, at the same time, if we stick to what God can do.
Yeah.
See, the Word of God said this, and then I'm getting ready to close, because the Word of God said this. God sent his only Son for you and I. And he said it like this. I believe it's in Romans 8:32.
Mm-hmm.
For God spared not his Son, but delivered him up for us all.
Amen.
How shall he not also freely give us all things? If God, the Son that he loved, his only Son, Jesus Christ, that Son and say that we say we believe in,
mm-hmm.
the one that we say that died and rose on the third day, that same Christ that says that the book of Ephesians tells us in the second chapter, let that mind be in Christ that's also in you. See, let us have the same mind of Christ. So that same thing that we find when it tells us about transforming our minds, and letting our minds transform to the Word of God and not to the world, to live by what the Word of God says and not by what we think we are able to do.
Yeah.
See, when I was a young man, I relied a lot on my strength.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. I was able to pick this up. And I was able to go do this. But you notice as you get older, you find out that a lot of those things that you used to do, you can't do.
Yeah.
Now, ain't nothing about the mind says, the mind don't tell you, oh, you can't.
All right. Yeah.
Because the mind will tell you, you can.
Yeah.
And the body says, no, wait a minute.
Yeah.
Hold on,
yeah.
What do you think you're doing?
Yeah.
I can't, you can't do that.
Yeah.
But see, this is what we do. We will allow what we think we can do and then ask God to do what we can't do. And we say we're trusting God. But see, the faithfulness of who God is, we're going to say, Lord, I can't do anything.
Yeah.
See, when you come to trust God and believe that he's trustworthy,
yeah.
You're going to say, Lord, I can't do nothing.
Yeah.
My total dependency is on you.
Yeah.
And unless I'm standing with you that you're going to do everything that I need done.
Yeah.
See, I'm going to surrender. I'm going to give up what I think I am and who I think I am.
Yeah.
I'm going to surrender my life to you. The sacrifice you are asking for is me, to surrender my will to you,
okay.
That through me you may do your will. That the product of that is that the blessing that God has promised, because of your obedience, he would lavish it on you. Amen?
Amen.
See, this is the thing, and I'm closing right now. I want to say this thing to you. In Psalm 37:25, if you never read it, David said this. We all know David was a man after God's own heart.
Mm-hmm.
Amen. David said this. He said, I've been young, and now I'm old. I never seen the righteous forsaken, nor his seed begging bread. See, this is the thing. When we allow the world to dictate how we're going to serve our God,
yeah.
The question is to ask, are you trusting God?
All right.
See, or are you trusting what the world shows you? Are you believing God, he is who he say he is?
Mm-hmm.
Or are you just saying that I'm going to say I trust God, but yet and still I don't do the things that God tells me to do? And we live in a world today where we need to stand up for God. We need to stand up and show who we are. We need to be bold and loud about who he is.
Yeah.
See, and we need to make a declaration right now that, see, God is sovereign.
Uh-huh.
He's not trying to get sovereign.
Mm-hmm.
He is sovereign.
Yeah.
And the only one that's going to cause you to prosper and go through this world, to operate in this world that you're in but not part of,
uh-huh.
is God.
Amen.
And while I'm saying to you this morning, think about those that I've shared with you already and put yourself in those situations and say, I've been in those similar situations. What did I do?
Uh-huh.
How did I act? And if you didn't act according to how you should have acted, if you were disobedient, if you'd done something that you know was totally against God, the word of God says in 1 John 1:9, if we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. The enemy tell you God's not going to have nothing to do with you. You're done. It's over with. You know that thing you got hidden and nobody know about? God ain't going to never do anything with you. God ain't going to have nothing to do with you. He see how you doing. But see, God called those. And that's why I showed you the ones I showed you. Because Elijah and all the ones that you could see in the hall of faith, they all fail.
Amen.
But God used them mightily. They didn't always do what God wanted them to do.
Yeah.
David, an adulteress. Moses, a murderer. Oh, yeah, you know, but you don't know what I've done. No, listen, no matter what you've done, it makes no difference. When you accepted Jesus Christ as Lord of your life, when you said he is my Savior, he's my King of Kings, he forgave you for all that.
Amen.
Now let me say something to you this morning. Forgive yourself and move on, because God is waiting to use you. God wants to use you. He wants to empower you to do the very thing he called you to for this hour and this time. Amen?
Amen.
And God bless you.
Amen. Thank you, Reverend.
Amen, 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 amen,
amen. Somebody ought to say amen.
Amen.
There's a word from the Lord, and we thank Reverend Gwen for sharing that with us this morning.
Amen.
Sometimes we need to hear a new voice. saying the same thing. I love what Reverend Gwynn said earlier about not preaching something new. It's the same word of God, but it's the way it's shared that gives us the strength that we need. There might be somebody this morning, and perhaps you're not at a church house, but you were watching, and you have been moved by the Lord to change your life. We want you to know that you're welcome, not just at this church, but you're welcome at any Christian church, because God is such a good God. So as we open the doors of the church, if there's anyone that has a testimony that you want to share, or something on your heart, will you come forward and share with us now? As we sing this song, Jesus, while you have time, come unto Jesus, make up your mind, yeah, he will make your life brand new. Lord, he'll take good care of you. Just come to Jesus while you have time. Amen. It's ours to offer. The door is always open for Jesus Christ to receive a person.
Thank you for listening to a recent sermon from Pilgrim Branch Missionary Baptist Church. We pray that you have been blessed by the preaching of God's Word. Pilgrim Branch Missionary Baptist Church is located at 16813 Huffsmith Corville Road, Houston, Texas, 77070. Our Sunday worship services are held at 8 o'clock a.m. and 11 o'clock a.m., with Wednesday night Bible study at 7 o'clock p.m. Please come out and join us for worship, study, and fellowship, where our motto is, "We are the branch, but He is the vine."